The Marketing Development Podcast is now brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, a brand new online resource for marketers and marketing professionals to improve their expertise by offering different levels of training courses. Our first course is now on pre-sale, looking at different areas of SEO and how to apply an SEO strategy to any website that you're working on, be it a website for your employer or one for your client. More details can be found at marketingdevelopment.academy.
Exactly. I mean, the beauty of an online course, that's exactly it. It's not like you sell it once and you're done.
Welcome to the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am talking to Louise Brogan from Social BNI. We talk about creating online courses, which is something Louise has done a fair bit of, and also how to grow an email list. This is a really great episode, packed full of loads of practical advice. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by Louise Brogan from Social B. Hi Louise, how are you doing?
Hi Pete, I'm doing really well. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast.
No problem at all. And it's quite a frosty morning here on this side of the Irish Sea, so how's it looking in Ireland?
It was. I had to get the hot water on the window this morning because my daughter, I had to take her to get her lift at 20 to 8 in the morning, and I ran outside and thought, oh no, we're never going to get to the lift because the car's frozen, so it's pretty frosty.
Yeah. Our cars look like lollipops this morning as well, mm-hmm. so it was the first morning with a proper bite to it, but hey-ho, mm-hmm. That's just a sign of things to come. We might get a white Christmas, who knows?
I know. The kids, my two younger kids are like really excited. They were like, is it going to snow? And I was thinking, please let it not snow.
You know, I opened the blind in our kids' bedroom this morning and said, oh, the world's turned white, meaning it was frosty.
Yes.
And they instantly thought snow. And I've never seen two. They almost look like they were drunk. Our kids share a room, and they both sort of clambered across the room to have a look, see if there was snow outside. And were thoroughly disappointed with Daddy when
I'm sure.
So I think I oversold it a bit this morning. Anyway. So Louise, do you want to give a quick breakdown of who you are and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Louise Brogan, as you say. My business is called Social B, and I help people to get to grips with online marketing and building their businesses online. So I live just outside Belfast in Northern Ireland, and I host local workshops, but I also do a lot of online training and coaching, and I have a membership site called the Social B Academy. And I am also a podcaster, Pete, with the Social B podcast. We are about 59 episodes live as we're recording this, and I love podcasting. So it's always a treat to come on somebody else's podcast too.
Yeah, all of a sudden the pressure's off, and it's on somebody else. You can just turn up and talk about what you enjoy talking about. We were just talking about this before we started recording. So I first became aware of Louise when you were part of an online summit back. I have a feeling that was in the summer.
Yes, it was. Was it maybe around June time, I think, possibly?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And that was through Missing Letter, which is Missing Letter is a platform for content sharing, isn't it?
Yes. But
you were one of the session speakers through the summit, and I listened to your yours along with others, and that was all about using social media or building your social media strategy as part of your business, and then you then talking about what you do through the Academy. So do you do a lot of things like that online? Is that sort of typically where people might find you sort of doing that, and then within your own groups, or you know, do you have sort of a desk job where you work with clients and that kind of thing?
Well, I started out that I worked with clients and I did social media management for people, but really in the last couple of years it has become much more about training people, and I really enjoy doing the training online. So people might book in with me for like a one-to-one session or a set of one-to-one sessions, and we do it over Zoom, mm-hmm. and record it and then send it through to them. I do webinars. I just checked my calendar. It was September, the Uppercase Conference. And how I got involved in that with Ben from Missing Letter was because I had run a conference an online summit myself back in the spring, over 3 days. So I did it was called Raise Your Visibility Online Summit, and I really enjoyed doing it. I think Ben and I came across each other, I think. Did I go on his podcast and talked about online summits? And then it kind of gave him the idea to do his own. So it was like a no-brainer to invite me on as one of his guests, I think. and I enjoyed doing it so much that I'm actually doing another one in January 2019. But one of the great things of doing, and I know you had Amy from Content 10X on your podcast, yep. Pete, one of the great things about doing an online summit like that is you get the guest experts in and they come and record a really brilliant piece of training. I was then able to take those pieces of training and put them into my membership site. So I was able to repurpose them as content for my members as well. But I love doing that kind of thing and getting in front of other people's audiences as well and showing people that you know a little bit about what you're doing is a really great way of growing your presence online, I think.
You know, one of the key things Amy said, one of my biggest takeaways from her podcast was that if I remember it rightly, the words she used were something like, you owe it to that piece of content to give it the most visibility you can possibly give it. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really thought about it that way, that, you know, your content becomes, I've always thought of, you know, your content as a sort of general overarching thing. Your library of content becomes an asset for you to use. But actually, Amy's point was, you know what? Actually, no, each piece of content becomes an asset in its own right. Mm-hmm. And then you can repurpose that. So, you know, it's really great that you've been able to take that content and then use it within your membership community as well and make mm-hmm. sure that the maximum value is being taken out of that. But particularly, I mean, I don't run a... Well, I run an online community in terms of a Facebook group, but I don't mm-hmm. run a paid community through the podcast. There's an interesting point there about, you know, how do you feel? Is there a different onus on the content that you put into your paid community? Do you feel a different pressure there, or do you, is it a bit more free and easy than that?
No, it's not pressure. Because people have invested their time and money in me, I want to give them really good value. So, and I want to really help them. So I have a free Facebook group called the Social Beehive. Mm-hmm. And that's got about almost 1700 members now. It's all entrepreneurs from all over the world. And my paid membership. So in the free group, I'm happy to answer questions to a point or maybe direct people to a blog post or, you know, one of my things this year is I became an accredited Facebook trainer. With Facebook and Instagram. And as part of that, I get access to, I wouldn't call it breaking news, but it's a thing with Facebook called Share to Connect, where Facebook sends me through new things that they're doing, and I'm able to share that into my group. So the people in my group are getting that, you know, first, straight off the press. Mm-hmm. So that's the free group is for that, and people ask questions and stuff in there. Actually, they all help each other out as well if there's a question about something. But the paid membership, I deliver training in there every month. We have a group call every month, and I try and bring in a guest expert every month as well. So it's a different level. It's a different level of help, and because those people have, you know, are invested enough to actually sign up and join, then I want to give them as much help as I can.
I guess it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, that, isn't it? Because on the one hand, they are, you know, there is that level of investment. They are paying you money. But then on the same note, because they're paying you money, you can then give more time to create the content that goes into that. So it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, I would assume. Mm. But it's what it seems like from the outside anyway. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of mentality behind that. I'll make sure that there's links in the show notes to the group and to your website and stuff, so people can find all your resources and your podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you then mentioned that you're doing another summit in 2019. Is that another Raising Your Visibility summit?
Yes. So that's really what I do, is I help people raise their visibility online. So, and I've got different speakers this time, and I've got some speakers that I think some of your audience would probably recognize. So I've got Kate Erickson from Entrepreneurs on Fire is doing mm-hmm. a course or a class on podcasting. Jessica Lorimer, who is at the Upreneur Summit this year, is doing a class on sales. and some of my American connections. So I don't know about you, Pete, but I've made lots of really nice connections with other podcasters through being in this podcasting space.
That is one of the best things about doing this as part of your content creation is that you do get. I've not come across another medium. You know, if you're blogging, okay, you know, you get some guest blogs here there, and but you don't really get that personal connection. It's more of a transaction of a piece of content. Whereas actually doing a podcast and spending half an hour, 45 minutes with somebody, and you get to know them a little bit, and then there's the social bits afterwards and supporting each other with sharing it. All of a sudden, you know, you're properly teaming up on creating something. And you do make deeper connections. It's brilliant.
I think so. And then sometimes actually people have been in my podcast will then suggest other people to me as well, which is it's a really lovely network, I think, of podcasters.
I think the other thing that's great with it is it's a little bit like the WordPress community. Coming from a development background, I'm a bit of a, I'm in some of these sort of geeky, slightly more geeky development sort of groups.
Yes.
But the thing with that is that there's always space for more. It's not a community that's going to get particularly saturated. You know, there's always people join up every day and ask newbie type questions versus people that have been in there months or years, and they're asking far more technical things or you know they're struggling with something else, and there's always space for more people to join. So it really is a welcoming kind of community as well. You've got to put yourself out there and take the leap yourself to begin with, but that's once you've done that, you know, you really are kind of welcomed. It's a great place to be, and a lot of that just simply happens on Facebook, you know, as well. That's not, you know, Facebook groups and those kind of things.
Yes, and Instagram actually as well. So I've connected with quite a few podcasters through Instagram stories.
You know, I was talking to Lee Jackson about that, and he did an Instagram story about meeting me. We just did took a photo and put some stuff over the top of it. Uh-huh. And while we were sitting there, it had something like 3,500 views. We sort of did it. It was one of the first things we talked about. We said, well, look, we're going to be here for another hour, so let's just see what happens.
And yes.
It was, he seems to have, I've not quite got there yet with Instagram, so I'll have to check it out.
You will have to, Pete, and actually, if you start doing Instagram stories, you'll find that they're really fun. You'll just start doing those more.
So obviously there's a number of different ways that people can work with you and interact with what you do. So what's sort of the type of people that you work best with?
I have really niched down, I think, into my audience really this past year. So I am working with women who are service-based businesses, so coaches, health instructors, people who want to they see what I'm doing and they want to do something similar. So they want to create their first online course, or they want to be able to work with somebody one-to-one online, or maybe they're building a membership site. But they're usually, I would say, over 35. Quite a lot of them have been in really good jobs, but have left them to start their own business for whatever reason. And those are the people that come to me and book my one-to-one sessions with me. And it's almost like it's that old adage about, you know, if you're one step ahead of somebody, then you can teach them how to get where you are. And that's really been quite a big driver this year for my business.
Mm. Okay, so I mean, you've obviously got multiple strands to what you do, but also to the way that you market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I fully get. I was talking about this with somebody the other day. You know, it's almost easy for somebody on the outside looking in when they're starting off to say, well, it's easy for you to say that because you've got these 15 things already set up and you're maintaining them and you know it's giving you the space to grow these things, but I've literally got nothing. I'm wanting to write my first online course, whatever it might be. So what's kind of the first, I'm aware that this is kind of what you do, so I'm not asking you to give away anything that's within your group. But what's kind of, if I am Joe Blogs, I'm sat at the computer, I've not monetized anything yet, so I've got very little budget. Where's what's the best one single piece of advice for where I could start?
Oh, you need to start by building an email list. There's no point in creating anything to sell online if you've got nobody to sell it to.
There you go. That was easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
That was easy enough.
Now, for anyone who's listening who goes, yeah, but Louise, how do you do that? Do you want me to let you know how I've done that in the last couple of years?
If you're happy to talk about that, you go for it, Louise, because that's great.
So there's a couple of different ways that I have really grown my email list in the last 2 or 3 years. And they are a 30-day social media challenge where people sign up and for 30 days they get an email from me every single day which suggests something to post on their social media accounts, usually their Facebook account, and really get some engagement on their social media accounts. So that's one way. Mm-hmm. Another way is through doing webinars, so free webinars. So maybe how to start using social media in your business, or how to use Facebook in your business, or you know, that kind of idea. So a webinar where somebody signs up and they get the free training for 45 minutes and then they get to ask questions. And I know that John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson of EO Fire, that is, you know, they do a webinar a week. I'm not sure if they're doing a webinar a week at the minute, but that's how they built their email list. And it's a surefire way to get people on your list. And one tip I would say, Pete, is if you're going to create a course that is going to teach people about, say, Instagram stories,
yep,
then your webinar should be something relatable to Instagram stories. You know, there's no point running webinars saying, here's how to use LinkedIn, here's how to use Twitter, and then try and funnel those people down a path to a course that's going to be about Instagram stories. So you have to be strategic about it as well.
I guess there's also a good point because, you know, I've had the ideas for a number of courses, but at the moment they're thoughts in my head. And mm-hmm. whilst I can look at my group and try and understand or think of something that may fit with what I think is going to resonate with them, it's far better to come up with a concept, run a webinar for an hour, and then see if there's any traction on it.
Yeah.
Instead of investing days and weeks in developing a course just to find out that nobody's going to buy it at the other end.
Yes. So I have just, as we're speaking, I'm in week one of a 6-week group coaching program that I decided to create. Now, I do have an email list of about 1,500 people, so it's not that I was starting from scratch, but I decided that I was going to do a group coaching program called How to Create Your First Online Course. And how I got interest for that was I created 3 free videos.
Yep.
How to create your online course. The top mistakes to avoid in creating your first online course. Mm-hmm. And the third one was the tech tools you need for creating an online course. So those videos are available for anybody who wants to see them now on my socialbee.teachable.com, my Teachable school.
Okay.
So I set that up. I shared it to my email list. I shared it to my Facebook group. And I think I shared it in maybe one other Facebook group. And about 45 people signed up for that. Went through the free training, and interestingly, one lady said to me, Louise, I would have paid for that training, and I thought, oh, that's great, yeah, it's good to know. But what I do in there, in those 3 videos, is that they're about 10 minutes long each, and you know, I give good value, but I'm not actually create an online course takes a lot more than 3 10 minute videos of training.
Really?
Yes.
Ah, shucks.
Unless you're going to sell your course for like £7 or something, I don't know. So out of that, I filled my group coaching program as a result. But I knew by the uptake of the free training and the response I got from it and the questions I was getting from it, I knew that I could fill a group coaching program off the back of that.
Brill. So that's I've just found it online. So I've got the link to your Teachable. So that'll all mm-hmm. be in the show notes as well. So if people want to go and find those videos, they can do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know that you've then gone sort of so you've gone through the concept stage. You did the videos. You get some data back from those.
Yeah.
You then fill you've then filled a beta version of the course, haven't you? So that's,
and
I know that's what you've been working on just before we jumped on this call. So mm-hmm. you're 1 week through a 6-week beta course. So do you just want to run through the concept of running a beta course and how that's helping you, but also how that's helping the delegates?
Yes. So a beta course, and it's really funny because I realized quite quickly my audience didn't understand what beta meant. And my background in software engineering, And I was 11 years as an IT project manager, so it's very comfortable language for me. But quite a few people said to me, what does BDM mean, Louise? So basically it means that you create a course, a sales page, and if people buy it, then you create the course as you go. So that's why it's a drip-fed group coaching program. So each week I am basically creating the content, releasing on the Monday. The students have access to it. Well, they have access to it forever, but they have access to week one at the minute. On Friday, we have a group call, and in that group call, I will be helping them with their questions, but they also get a chance to feedback to me and say, well, Louise, you know, can you do a bit more on, like, so I've got a thing about validating your idea in week one. Mm-hmm. So they might say, well, we need a bit more help with that. Or, you know, can you explain that a bit further? So it actually helps me to create the best course possible, because the people who are in it will be feeding back as we go. How it benefits them is that they get to input into the content of the course, but also they get it at a much lower price because it's a beta group. So yeah. I was able to price it at £250 in order to get people to run with that, because, you know, people, there's some people who don't want to do that. They just want to buy a course, work through it in their own time, and off they go. And this is a very a different style. So we'll see how we'll see how week one goes on Friday morning.
Well, no, I really hope it goes well for you. And actually, you know, you've also been quite sort of, I don't want to use the word bold. That's not the word I'm the right word for it. But you've been quite defined in what your pricing is going to be. So, you know, some people may have thought, well, actually, this course might sell for £250. So I'm gonna charge it at £50 for the beta, for example. But, it's up to you what you sell it for later. But obviously, it's going to be more than £250.
Yes.
So that's the, you're obviously confident that there's going to be the ultimate value in that once you've been through this process in order to justify that price.
Yeah, well, I think as well, the fact that I went through this in my head, you know, if somebody has invested £250 in a course that is going to teach them how to build their first online course, I would like to, for them to, if they're a brand new online course creation, I would suggest that they price their first course at £97 or dollars. And I'm going to help them ideally sell, I would think five courses if you have an audience, which would be £500. So it more than pays for the investment in the course that I've created. If that makes sense. That was how I thought about it all.
And then the point is, you've then taught them the basics that they can then go and sell multiple courses at multiple times that value over the next 10 years of their life.
Exactly. I mean, the beauty of an online course, that's exactly it. It's not like you sell it once and you're done. You know, you can sell it over and over again.
So are you just then building on, so you complete the beta, you refine your resources. Mm-hmm. Do you then rerun the course with a sort of as a live training course, but with a new set of fully paying delegates to record the sort of revised version, or do you sort of record it all offline and then it becomes a course that people simply sign up to and it gets drip fed to them on a, because ultimately that's the dream, isn't it? You know, you have something that you then don't need to touch again, and you can it just gets dripped out to the people that sign up.
So that's really interesting, because that's not really how I see my business.
Oh, really?
Yes, I really like the interaction with my customers. I think that's why I like my membership, and I also have a mastermind so much, is because I really enjoy working with people. Mm-hmm. So the idea for the beta is, if this group give me feedback, I will edit and add content now, and then when it gets launched again, which will probably be around March, all the video content will be ready and with the feedback from this group. But they'll still be dripped out, and we will still have a live coaching element on the Friday morning.
Right. Yeah. So you're going to, so there'll be, you won't have to do as much work as you're doing now, no. But it is going to be sort of more the Dave Foy kind of WP Elevation type model, where it runs for a set length of, you know, it's not something that you sell ongoing and drip it out as and when the customers want it. You have set periods that you run this course,
yes.
And they join you for those 6 weeks or whatever it happens to be, and you're there every Friday morning for your coaching call, taking them through it.
Yes. And I suppose there could be an option where people, if they don't want to do the group coaching option, that they just want to buy the course as is. But I will be marketing it as a group coaching course.
There you go. No, that makes perfect sense. So, sorry, I've just completely lost my train of thought.
You're
all right. I was going to ask you an intelligent question then. It's gone. So you're going to sell it as a group coaching course. This is going to take a serious edit coming out of it. Oh, what was my intelligent question?
Don't know.
If you did, that would be really scary. Right, okay. So let me gather my thoughts. Okay, so you're going to sell it as a group coaching course. So at what point then did you start to realize that what it was that you were doing could actually be packaged up into a course? Or was that always your intention to go down that way?
Oh, my goodness, what a great question.
I told you it was a good one. I just couldn't remember it for a few seconds.
I think, so if we go back 3 years... mm-hmm. when I was moving my business away from working with people and managing their social media accounts, and I wanted to do more of the online course space, and then transitioned into membership sites, I invested in David Siteman Garland's Create Awesome Online Courses program, mm-hmm. and I'll give you a link for that, which was, out of that, I created a course called Facebook for Business. And that was very much the model that I saw being sold by everybody online, that you create a course, you launch it, then you launch it again, and then you create a whole automated funnel where people will sign up for a freebie. 3 emails down the track, they get an offer to buy your course. And it just didn't work for me, Pete.
I got bit by the bug two or three years ago, uh-huh. about the whole ClickFunnels thing.
Ooh.
So ClickFunnels is base. All of ClickFunnels training is just a funnel to get you to sell ClickFunnels.
I know.
That's all it Chuffing Well does, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And you know what?
I'm so glad you said that.
I didn't sell a chuffing thing, right? It cost me, I think I ran it for about 4 or 5 months. I was paying ClickFunnels at least $100 a month for 5 months.
Yeah.
Plus everything else that went along with it, and some Facebook ad spend and this, that. And I ended up getting to the end of it and sort of shaking my head thinking, what the heck? How could I be this stupid?
That's so interesting, because not only have I gone into ClickFunnels, I might have bought it for 1 month. And then I thought, what am I doing? I don't have time to sell somebody else's software. Yeah. And then I almost fell down the rabbit hole again a second time because I see other people using it. But they're selling into their programs. So there must be a way of doing it successfully, but it didn't work for me.
You can. Now, I don't know, 2-ish years of it behind me, and people keep on mentioning ClickFunnels. I know, for example, Kim Doyle uses ClickFunnels to sell some of her courses, mm-hmm. and that's absolutely great. I think the problem is that the whole ClickFunnels training is based at newbies. It is kind of entry level stuff, which is absolutely fine, and there's definitely a need for there to be training at that level. I'm not criticizing that at all. The problem is that delivering training at that level, you attract people that are literally going to copy what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you've not got the awareness of mind or the confidence in what your business is and what you're trying to achieve, you essentially just become another hamster on the wheel of ClickFunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, so I copied what what ClickFunnels were doing. And exactly as you said, it just didn't work for me. I had the emails set up. I had the same sequence. They'd given me swipe files and then I'd personalize them and this. But you know what? That people just didn't care because maybe because I was a Brit and I was trying to sell an American product with American messaging from American swipe files. And they made it sound so easy, but actually it just didn't work. Whereas I'm sure I could go back to ClickFunnels, but now I've got so much more experience of different ways of doing things that, you know, I'm not going to pay ClickFunnels. Well, it's $97 a month for the basic one or $400 or something for the more expensive one.
Wow.
I'm just not going to spend that kind of money because I know that I can do it elsewhere, achieve the same thing, and I can be in control of the whole process.
Yes. I mean, even so, this year, I dumped my lead pages account this year because, I mean, it was like $30 a month or something. I can't remember. Because I use ConvertKit, and ConvertKit have their own landing pages. And yeah, okay, they don't look as snazzy as lead pages, but at the end of the day, my audience know that if they sign up for my training, they're going to get good training, so they don't really care what the sign up page looks like particularly.
Absolutely. And you know what, when you're kicking off and you're getting going, actually whether the font size on the buy now button is 3 pixels bigger than it currently is and it's a slightly different hue of red or amber or whatever the heck, if you are ClickFunnels and you're then working on multi-million dollar funnels for other people, there's a place for all that kind of A/B split testing. If you're just working with Joe Blogs and you're trying to get yourself up and running, people don't generally care.
Found that. I think you and I have fallen down the same similar rabbit holes together. But that actually, Pete, that's a really good point, because I think for people who are listening to us who are maybe at the start of this whole journey, it's so easy to get distracted by the marketing tactics of these big companies and sign up for all these different pieces of software, and you don't really need them all.
No, you don't. And what you've got to understand is, weirdly, marketing companies are great at marketing. and you're right. You fall for. I don't mean you fall for it in a bad way. These products do have a place in the market, and there are people that use them very effectively.
Yes.
But this was one of the things that was mentioned at a conference we were at earlier in the year together. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to think about how every piece of software can be used for your business. You don't need to think about how every concept or how to include everything in your business. You need to understand what your business is, what your aims and objectives are, and then you can start to cherry pick the things that you're going to use to achieve those goals.
Yes.
So yeah, that's definitely a key takeaway, I would say, from this. So I did have another question. I did have two questions. I think that's where I stumbled just a few minutes ago, so I don't quite know how that came out in the edit. But you were talking about running your beta course. Now, the other thing that you mentioned, well, before we were online, about your beta course was that you had some sort of small milestones to do with how many people you wanted to see to make the beta viable.
Yes.
So do you just want to talk a little bit through the premise behind that and how you came up with sort of what your initial goal was, then you had a stretch goal, and as long as you sat somewhere in the middle, you were perfectly happy, that kind of mentality?
Yes. So I suppose I've never done the beta route before. So when I've done, when I've launched courses before, they've been ready to go. And this was a new thing for me, and I wasn't sure how my audience would find it. So I thought, well, if I create this course, well, first of all, I wasn't going to create the course unless I definitely got 5 people in it.
There you go.
So I know that 5 is a really nice number to work with, because my mastermind has 5 people in it, and I really enjoy that interaction, and it's a nice size number. So 5 was, if I got 5 people in it, then we were, and actually that was quite funny, because a couple of people who ended up buying it weren't going to buy it until they knew it was going to run. And I was like, well, it's not going to run until I have 5 people. And if you two buy it, then we're at 5. But if you don't buy it, then we're not going to get to 5. So that's quite funny. And one of the things about me, Pete, in my business is I'm very honest. So I would never say to somebody, oh, yes, I've already got 5. You know, I would never do that. So I ended up actually getting, so my stretch goal was to get 10. And I realized, I've already realized in the group, that 10 is probably my max for doing it as a group call, because I'm envisioning my call on Friday morning with more than 10 people in it would be too many, because how would you actually be able to answer and help everyone's questions unless you're going to do like a 6-hour long call? So I got 9 people in, and the funny thing was, I was saying to you before we started recording that I'm an early riser, right? So I get up about 6:15 in the morning. So I go to bed about 10 or 10:30. And I knew that some of my audience are night owls. So I wasn't going to close the doors on the course till midnight. But of course, I was asleep. So I got up in the morning coming downstairs to close the course. And I got there was a message from somebody saying, oh, I was going to buy your course, Louise. But, you know, I'm going to do it next time. And I said, all right, that's fine. You know, it's going to be really great, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be brilliant if you're joining me next time. And the next thing I got a message saying, oh, I've just got in. I've just got into your course. I was like, oh no, I said I was closing the doors and I haven't done it. So I closed the door straight away because, you know, I'm not one of those, like some marketers will send you an email 24 hours later and say, oh, we sent you the wrong link and here's the right link. And it's all.
Yeah, and we've left it open for an extra 24 hours.
Yes, just for you.
Just for you, yeah.
So that was not the case. So I woke up on Monday morning thinking, yay, I've got 8 people in my course. And then by the time I poured my coffee, I had 9. And then the doors were closed.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, look, by the time this airs, your beta group will have finished. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really hope that all goes really well for you. And let us know when you're running the next live course, and we can share that in the marketing development group as well, so that you know, I know from the resources that you create that it's going to be high quality. I'm not part of the beta, for full disclosure. Mm-hmm. But I know that you're going to have, you know, so when it's ready, let us know and we'll pop it in the group as
brilliant.
Well,
brilliant. Thank you, Pete.
No problem at all. So just to sort of bring us into a close then, so I kind of semi know the answer to this question, but you've obviously moved into producing courses as a key part of your business. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of that you coming to a point where you think, actually now this is a place that I can be, so I can run this course, and I might run it, you know, 3 times a year for the next 3 years, and mm-hmm. then actually I can produce another course? Or is this then just part of a bigger plan? You know, do you have a bigger plan in place, and a course is a kind of just a one tactic within many?
Well, obviously world domination, Pete.
Sorry. Sure. Other than world domination.
Yeah, no, I have a very clear image in my head. So that is, I have my my free stuff, which is my webinars and my Facebook group. Next, I have the membership site, which mm-hmm. it's funny because people don't really think of that in terms of course creation, but actually creating a course is, you know, a lot of my training is literally how to physically create your course. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that plays into people who are building membership sites too. So the membership site, then I have the standalone course, and then I have my mastermind, and I have my one-to-ones. Now that is all my online work. I also do actually run local workshops here in Northern Ireland as well. And ideally in the next year, I see myself running those once a month locally, and I'm hoping to take them down to Dublin as well. So that's the focus for me. That's how I see the business growing this year. And it's actually very nice to have something in your head that this is the plan, and I'm going to like have a little diagram on the wall and stick to the plan and stop. No more going down rabbit holes.
No, absolutely. Right. That's it. You and me got to keep ourselves accountable. No more rabbit holes. There we go. You heard it. Hey, it's online now. It must be true. No, that's great. I also think it's really good that you've sort of twinned what you're doing online with something that happens in real life. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, it's so easy to be online, as you were just saying, you know, half of the life online happens during sleeping hours, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to become almost a hermit to the real world and to, mm-hmm. to real people, in terms of, you know, you limit your interactions to purely online. So to actually being an entrepreneur and doing something that is genuinely a sort of self-starter type business, a solopreneur type business, for you to then make sure that you then have real interactions with real people mm-hmm. in your locality or in your country, wherever, you know, however far you want to spread that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really healthy thing to just include within the balance. Mm-hmm. of life. No, that's great. So thank you so much for your time, Louise. If people want to reach out to you and find you online, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. So since considering we're on a podcast, I guess the podcast listeners could go and check out the Social Bee podcast.
Yep.
But also my website is socialbeni.com. And I'm all over social media as SocialBNI or Louise Brogan on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if this is airing in January, I will be having my second online summit starting very soon on the 28th of January. So they're very welcome to come along. That's a free online summit for running for 3 days.
Fantastic. I'll make sure that there's links to your website and to at least a couple of your social profiles mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff in the show notes. The link to the show notes will be in the intro and outro, so people can go and check them out there. And thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it. It's been good fun.
Cheers, Louise. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thank you, Louise, for your time and your insight. That was absolutely brilliant. And if you want to check out more of Louise's stuff, please head over to peteeverett.com/036, where there's links to all of the things Louise has mentioned in the show notes. If you remember right back at the start of this episode, you may have heard that we now have our own Marketing Development Academy, and our very first course has been launched on pre-sale. So head over to marketingdevelopment.academy to find out a little bit more about what that's about. And if you would like to be involved in the first ever course run by the Academy, register for a place and I'd be delighted to see you there. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you next week.